Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. As the announcer said, I am your host, Michael Pappas. Women represent more than half of the United States population. Plus, they make significant contributions across all industries and sectors. Americans filed about 5.1 million business applications in 2022. That's nearly 14,000 a day, up from 3.5 million in 2019. Women, in particular, have been the driving force behind America's economic rebound from the COVID-19 pandemic. They have created about half of new businesses for the third year in a row. According to an analysis produced by the Boston Consulting Group, if women participated equally to men as entrepreneurs, global gross domestic product, the GDP, would increase by approximately 3 to 6%, adding $2.5 to $5 trillion to the global economy. Women's role in business is constantly expanding, especially in recent years. In fact, the news is full of headlines highlighting increases in female entrepreneurship. Women are starting more new businesses than ever, employing more people, and earning more. At first glance, these results are quite promising. Female entrepreneurs are leading an exciting shift in the U.S. economy, with 2 out of every 10 businesses owned by women. However, despite employing an estimated 12 million people and generating $1.9 trillion in annual revenues, women are hitting a wall when it comes to financing. According to a Federal Reserve report, funding requests from women are less likely to be approved in full compared to those submitted by their male counterparts. In the rapidly changing modern economy, entrepreneurs need access to fresh capital for new products, research goals, and fluctuating inventories, while large companies that have fared well in the open market for several years can rely solely on profits to reinvest, new businesses need to be resourceful. There are startup costs like furniture and equipment, business insurance, and inventory. Then they may need financing to get through the first few slow quarters. Data from the loan market suggests that female entrepreneurs are less likely to receive conventional business loans than their male counterparts. This trend also pertains to women who apply for the government-sponsored loans of the Small Business Administration. On average, women who manage to secure a loan also receive smaller sums than male borrowers. This means that businesses with female owners struggle to obtain credit, which is a necessary part of being competitive in any market. Economists, sociologists, and market analysts have examined many factors to learn why women entrepreneurs struggle to obtain credit. Some researchers believe that women may be more averse to financial risk than men, and others state that women simply apply for fewer loans. These are important topics to consider, but the lower loan amounts for women clearly show that bias is a critical factor. This is especially true for small businesses. While it can be difficult for startup companies to become profitable, small businesses led by women are at a disadvantage. Business grants present an opportunity to level the playing field. Today, many agencies, corporations, and organizations are creating grants especially for women entrepreneurs. With these grants, they can get the financial support necessary for their business to thrive. One of the organizations offering grants is SCORE. Just this past April, SCORE held its 2023 SCORE New Jersey Pitch Contest, with 2 of the finalists each receiving a $4,000 grant. Last week, I had as my guest one of the finalists from the 2023 SCORE New Jersey Pitch Contest. Once again, as I said before, I may be repeating myself from last week, but here goes. Back in April, SCORE New Jersey ran a contest for women-owned small businesses. It was funded by the Lester, Muriel, and Edie Frazier Women's Entrepreneur Fund for SCORE New Jersey. The 2 winners of the contest would each receive a $4,000 grant for their business. Each business would submit an application telling the name, their products and/or services offered, length of time in business, a description of the market need and how they identified the need, their typical customer, the uniqueness of their product and/or service, how their product and/or service is different from the competition, an estimate of revenues for the next 2 years, and finally, if they won, how they would use the grant. The entries were reviewed by a panel of SCORE mentors, and 10 finalists were selected. Those finalists then had the opportunity to make a pitch of their business to a panel of SCORE mentors. If they wished, the finalists would be paired with a score mentor to help them prepare their pitch. During the week beginning May 15th, the finalists made their virtual pitch presentation to the panel. The panel then chose two winners. As an added perk, each finalist was given the opportunity to be a guest on Score Business Points to talk about their participation in the contest and about their business. This week, my guest is another of the finalists in the contest, Patricia Lucas Schneer.
Yes.
owner of Ahersia Health, Inc.
It's actually Ahersla.
Ahersla.
Ahersla Health.
Oh, welcome to Score Business Points.
Thank you.
Okay, Patricia. First, tell the listeners about yourself, your business background, and your business.
Sure. Well, I am the CEO and founder of Ahersla Health, and we're a startup medical device business, and our devices test sense of smell. And I got into it because I've always been very passionate about health and wellness, and I really enjoy understanding science, and I'm also experienced in being an innovator. So I've worked for consumer products companies where I've had opportunities to introduce new products and work on innovations by talking to consumers about what their needs and wants are. And so it's actually kind of interesting now I marry two sort of different disciplines of being consumer-oriented and focused on users' needs with developing medical devices that mm-hmm. test your sense of smell.
And what got you interested in this particular?
Well, I was actually approached by the inventors of a product called Sentinel, and this happened during COVID. So there was an alarming rate at which people were losing their sense of smell, and the inventors came to me, and we talked about commercializing the product Sentinel, which would test sense of smell. And the idea was to be able to test a large population of people, so you'd have to have something that's relatively fast and gives you a quick result. In order to help people figure out if they actually had COVID or maybe they had a cold or they had something else that wasn't COVID. So that's how this all started. But really, this whole idea around your sense of smell was so intriguing to me because your sense of smell is linked to so many other things. It's linked to mental health. It's linked to your quality of life, how you taste food, or, you know, if you really can find the flavor in food. It's connected to neurodegenerative diseases. And so it's really a very important component of your entire health and well-being.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Well, you were one of the 10 finalists in this year's Score New Jersey Pitch Contest. So can you tell us how you heard about Score and the contest?
Yeah. So when I left the corporate world, I actually volunteered for my local chamber and I was on the board of the chamber. And that's when I met Jane Meyer from SCORE in Central Jersey. And since that time, I've always kept up to date with what's happening with SCORE, and I always read my whatever comes in my inbox from SCORE. So that's how I found out about the contest.
Okay. Now, the contest allowed you to work with a SCORE mentor. Did you decide to work with a mentor?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Can you tell us his or her name?
Yeah, it was Jim Marinello. And we started to work together during the contest, and he helped me to prepare for the contest. But since then, we've continued working together. I think it's part a match of, you know, when your personalities match and you find somebody who is helpful. But what I really love is that Jim brings his professional and personal experience with a genuine interest in my business and really helps me to look at things from maybe a different perspective or maybe, you know, just turn things around. And then when Jim doesn't have a particular expertise in something that we're talking about, he can tap into the other SCORE experts to help out too.
I see. And you use Jim for this contest? Did you use any other SCORE mentors for this contest?
For the contest, I just worked with Jim.
Okay. Okay. Do you plan to still work with Jim in the future?
Yeah, actually.
And why is that?
Yeah. So we're working on updating my business plan right now. And I have some strategic initiatives that I want to work on. And so I've talked to Jim about what I want to accomplish. And so now we're working through the plan and bringing in other experts in order to get me to my goals.
How long has your company been in business?
Just a little bit more than a year and a half.
And I think you explained it, but how did you actually get started? Did someone approach you?
The inventors of the device that I'm selling approached me.
And how did they, why did they approach you?
Through connections that we had from the past. They were also looking for somebody who was an entrepreneur. They understood what they wanted from the product, and it wasn't necessarily something that was very traditional or something that was a copy of something else in the marketplace that you would just latch onto. It was something new. And so they were looking for somebody who not only had the interest, but also had an understanding of how to take a new product to market. And I have some experience working in biotech, bringing new products to market that are very different.
That's what I was curious. You said you worked for a couple of other organizations doing things. I didn't understand how they would get your information, but you were in the biotech industry. So
yes.
Somehow there was a connection there somehow.
Right, through our networks. Yep.
Through your
networks. Yeah. So I did start in consumer packaged goods marketing, but yes, I did end up working in biotech and medical devices. So.
Okay. How did you get the funding to start this business?
Well, like a lot of other entrepreneurs, the first round of funding usually comes from friends and family in your own pockets. And then I have a small grant from the New Jersey Commission on Science, Innovation, and Technology. And that grant lets me work at Rutgers University Makerspace, where I'm working on one of my devices that's a device to indicate if somebody can have a concussion.
Mm-hmm. And you indicated a grant. How did you get the grant?
It was interesting. Yeah, so I applied for it. I mean, they have actually NJCSIT, Commission on Science, Innovation, and Technology. They have a great website, and they have grants in many different areas. And so if you go on their website, a lot of them are rolling grants, or they have very long periods where they're funding different organizations or different projects. And so you can go on their website and find out what grants are currently available and find the ones that are appropriate for you.
I see. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's a really great organization.
I didn't know about. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, business uses a sense of smell to help assess health conditions. I was going to ask you what or who inspired you to go into this business, but you've already told me that
the first inspiration was really their want for an entrepreneur to market the smell
technology.
Well,
that's the question. Entrepreneur. How did they know that you're an entrepreneur? I mean, you worked for mainly prior to that, you worked in corporate world. So how did they determine that you're the entrepreneur?
Yeah. So, I did work for that biotech startup. And so because we have networks that, cross paths. I mean, networking is such a big deal. For leading to so many opportunities. And so it was basically through a connected network when I worked in the biotech industry.
And you went out on your own for some reason? That's why they wanted you to go out on your own?
So I actually had been working on another project for screening colorectal cancer, and that was starting to wrap up. And so I wouldn't say I was actually looking for another project, but it just so happened that the timing is right and things just worked out. And I think one of the biggest things was we had like a mutual respect for what the future could look like for smell testing.
Uh-huh. Well, I assume your target audience is the medical practitioner.
That's correct.
Okay. Exactly. How do you see that smell test being used in today's medical practice?
Well, so right now the medical practitioner that would use the test the most would be an otolaryngologist, which is an ear, nose, and throat healthcare professional.
That's a big, long name.
Yes. Well, a lot of them have these big, long names, right? So an ENT or an ear, nose, and throat doctor could use this because people will go to an ENT if they're experiencing issues with their sinuses or even if they've just lost their sense of smell and they are looking for a medical professional to help them out. So an ear, nose, and throat doctor would be a logical choice to go find out or get help with that. So an ear, nose, and throat doctor might do a procedure if you have a sinus issue or if you have some kind of an allergy, and they might want to see what the impact would be on your sense of smell. Or when you first walk in and you say, something's wrong with my sense of smell, they need to sort of assess exactly what's happening. So our test would actually be a good place to start because it assesses if you can smell, what you can smell, how much you can smell it, and whether the smell is distorted or not. That happened to a lot of people during COVID where you know, things that once smelled pleasant might be very unpleasant after they were infected with the virus.
Because I thought one of the things I heard was you lost your sense of smell.
I actually did lose my sense of smell when I had
COVID.
And
you lost your sense of taste.
I did, yes. And that happens to people very commonly. If you can't smell, you really can't taste much more than salty, sweet, bitter, or sour, right? Mm-hmm. So if you ever try to plug your nose and eat something, the flavor really isn't there. You can, you know, you have the sensations, but you really don't get flavor. And so that's actually a pretty big deal because a lot of people, when they do lose their sense of smell, they sometimes also lose interest in their food, which that can have a bad consequences for their nutrition.
Yeah, I've heard that with a lot of cancer patients.
Yes.
Chemo, they've lost their sense of taste or in actuality, I don't know if it's the sense of taste or if it's the sense of smell or what.
Cancer is quite complicated, so it could be a lot of different things. Yeah. And even regular pharmaceuticals, not even thinking about chemotherapy, but even a regular antibiotic could actually affect your sense of smell.
So how will you market these? And would you market besides to them? Would you market to the normal medical practitioner, the GP?
Yeah. So right now the focus is really on the ENT doctors, the ear, nose, and throat doctors. And basically we use direct sales, direct marketing pieces and social media. And in the future, we'd really like to target the general practitioner. Part of an effort right now, there's an NIH-sponsored conference coming up on universal smell testing so that smell testing would be just as common and routine as getting your vision or your hearing checked, which makes perfect sense to me.
Well, that's your business.
Exactly. But anyway, then it would be very appropriate for general practitioners to actually be using smell tests to do screening to see, you know, during a certain period of your life, is your smell your sense of smell starting to decrease, which then might lead to looking for other issues, or even if not looking for other diseases, just paying attention to your quality of life. You know, do you feel a little bit disconnected or perhaps show some signs of depression because you've lost your sense of smell? Or if it's starting to decline, then you have to pay a little bit more attention to things like nutrition or even your smoke alarms.
Well, where do you see your business in the next 3 to 5 years? And what are your plans to reach that point?
Well, I'm really hopeful about universal smell testing being something that's accepted and gets support from the stakeholders and the payers, like the health insurance plans. So I'm very hopeful about that coming to fruition in the next 3 to 5 years. But in the meantime, we're spending a lot of energy on building up our intellectual property portfolio. So we're filing patents and I'm developing new innovations like the product that I'm working on to assess for a concussion. So we've got a lot of things like that. And of course, part of doing that is, you know, making sure our name is out there and that we maintain a presence with the relevant medical community and healthcare community. And then, of course, always essential is to continue to raise money and show traction in the business through sales and getting new inventions out there.
I see. And do you use your website is one way. Are you involved in other things like Instagram or
Twitter? I try to stay active on LinkedIn for the most part. Uh-huh. And I'm still trying to figure out whether Twitter is the right place for
us to be or not. Well, they just changed their name to X,
right?
So I don't know what that means.
Right. I guess we'll find out. Yes. So that's still under evaluation. But I try to stay active on LinkedIn and pay attention to what's happening with the medical community and conferences and be involved with things like that. And like the initiative with the NIH conference on smell testing.
Uh-huh. Do you presentations anywhere to anybody or like in front of groups or stuff?
So I recently presented to a coalition that is involved with creating spaces for scientists who are primarily entrepreneurs to work, similar to the Rutgers Makerspace. And so whenever there's an opportunity like that, I'm certainly happy to talk to anybody who wants to listen.
Anyone wants to listen to me? I'm here to talk to you. Okay. Well, why don't you give the listeners your website if they're interested in
Sure. Yes. It's www.aherslahealth.com.
Now, is there anything else you'd like the audience to know?
Well, our device is a fast and affordable device. And so I think we've really set things up to be in a good place for the market. And I also think that one of the essential things is getting the help of mentors like the ones that you can find at SCORE, because it really is great when you're an entrepreneur to get the someone else's perspective. You know, you work on your own and you end up in your head a lot. And it really is so essential to get other people's feedback and perspectives on the work that you're doing.
Oh, excellent. Very good. Well, that's about it. I want to thank you
for
taking
you.
The time to be here.
This was fun. Thanks.
You're welcome. I appreciate it.
Being a female-owned business owner is about more than just ownership. It means putting your best foot forward and getting the job done just as well, if not better, than anyone else. It's no secret that women continue to excel professionally. One main reason for this is that women make exceptional leaders. Think about it. We all know at least one wonderful woman in our lives who has stood out in a professional setting or leadership role. Perhaps your mom owns her own company, or your wife is a lead nurse at a local hospital. There is something to be said about women's leadership skills and the unique dynamic that they bring to the world of business. A great example of this is highlighted in a study conducted by Western Governors University. This study found the following to be true in regard to women as leaders. Women bring new and innovative ideas to the workplace. Women are successful at promoting cooperation rather than competition. Women are excellent at communicating. Women use relational knowledge to solve problems. There is a large collection of resources dedicated to women-owned businesses, presenting a huge opportunity in itself. Different organizations provide different benefits, such as financial support, certification assistance, networking opportunities, and more. One useful resource is the Women's Business Enterprise National Council, WBENC. This organization is dedicated to certifying women-owned businesses and providing female entrepreneurship with information and advocacy. Currently, there is a vast collection of blogs, podcasts, career coaching sites, and other outlets aimed at lending a hand to businesswomen everywhere. As the popularity of women-owned businesses increase, more resources become available. Check locally to see how you can get involved with networking events, female-focused online resources, podcasts, and other tools. Here are a few sites to help you get started. eWomen's Network is a network and referral for female entrepreneurs. Elevate, it's a virtual network and a community of women. Women's Networking Alliance, which is a network opportunity for women. Hera Hub, which is a workspace for women. And Small Business Trends, advice for the small business success. Being a certified woman-owned small business, WSOB, or a women business enterprise, WBE, has its benefits. In order to qualify for the designations, the entity must have 51% female ownership. The WOSB certification is overseen by the Small Business Administration, the SBA. The WBE certification is granted by local, state, or other government agencies. The most pressing difference is that a business must be a WOSB in order to participate in federal funding programs. Once certified, a woman-owned business retains the advantage of receiving additional financial support and opportunities to bid on contracts. The SBA states that the federal government's goal is to award at least 5% of all federal contracting dollars to women-owned small businesses each year. Additionally, there are hundreds of private sector companies that offer grants to women-owned small businesses. These grants range from $2,000 to $150,000, so they are often a viable option for women entrepreneurs. Check out a few of these grant opportunities. The Amber Grant for Women, that's www.ambergrantsforwomen.com. The Ms. Foundation for Women, that's forwomen.org. Eileen Fisher Women-Owned Business Grant Program, www.eileenfisher.com. The NAV Small Business Grant, www.nav.com. Many successful business owners have used funding opportunities such as these to get their company up and running. This is true for both male and female entrepreneurs. The moral of the story is that there's no shame in taking advantage of these funding opportunities to get ahead, especially if the survival of your business depends on it. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject expert and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education for the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any one of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. I would again like to thank Patricia Lucas-Schneer for taking time out of her busy day to be with us on Score Business Points. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.